Jesus, went through some things that I want you to revisit in his life. Matthew 27, verses 39 through 43. I want to read a little history of Christ. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. So is he the King of Israel? Is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Can you visualize this scene? Can you visualize the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, when he overshadowed the Virgin Mary? Miraculous conception. The pure, the perfect Son of God who descended from the throne of God itself, wrapped himself incarnate in human flesh. Now there's none of us, and certainly not me, that can say we are pure and perfect like Christ. I don't know about you, but I can't go there. If you want to find any faults, it's not hard. You can. But with Christ, he was pure. He was holy. He was righteous. He knew no sin. He was forever holy. The one who spoke the world into existence. Talk about power. He did nothing but good to those he met. Bible said he went everywhere doing good. Now here he is, nailed to a cross, brutally beaten, being mocked and scorned by all that pass by him. That's almost hard to comprehend. Someone who was so perfect, so righteous, did no one any harm, to be in that position. How could that happen? He faithfully taught 12 chosen disciples. He taught them the eternal truth. And from those 12 that he handpicked, he suffered betrayal. He suffered from one of them denying to even know who he was. Other ones doubted him. And the rest of them scattered in fear
to let him die alone in agony.
Mary, when she held her little baby, never visualized such a thing. When Michael spoke to her and said, "This child will become the Savior of mankind," it never once entered into her mind that her little baby, that little boy of 12 years old that befounded the esteemed teachers of the temple, never once did it cross her mind as she watched him minister, as she saw the miracles he performed, that he would ever in any way suffer the thing that now she saw hanging on the tree. While hanging on the cross in excruciating pain and buffeted by the rejection of the Heavenly Father Himself, you remember those words He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" Here He is, all alone, nailed to a tree, and even the Heavenly Father turns His back. And below Him are these people reviling Him. That is, criticizing Him in abusive, angry, insulting manner. Yelling, "Look at you now! You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. If you are the Son of God, come on down, save yourself from this cross." Who are these people who are reviling Christ? The same people who witnessed the miracles of His ministry. Some of them were there on the wedding day when He turned the water into wine. They saw that miracle. Some of them were in the crowd in Galilee when the nobleman's son, who was at the point of death, was healed simply by his speaking. Some of these people who reviled Christ on the cross were religious leaders who were in the synagogue the day that Jesus commanded demons to leave a possessed man and he was made whole. They saw this man delivered from demon powers. And yet now, here they stand at the cross reviling Him. Some were watching Christ on that day when the leper came and Jesus reached out with His hand and touched that leper. Literally touched the disease that was so contagious that he had to cry, "Unclean, unclean." And when Jesus touched him, the leprosy left him. Some had rebuked Jesus when He forgave the sins of a man sick of the palsy. Remember that? He was bedridden, sick of the palsy. Yet as they watched, this man was healed, got up off of his bed and went home. These people were there. Some of them were there at the pool of Bethesda the day that Jesus helped a helpless man. Jesus said to him, "Why don't you get in the water?" And he said, "When the angel disturbs the water, I try, but others get in before I do. I have no man to help me." And Jesus healed him, watched him take up his bed and go home. The crowd standing around, some of them were there at the cross, reviling Him. Some of the religious leaders were there in the synagogue on the Sabbath and criticized Jesus for healing a man who had a withered hand on the Sabbath. Can you imagine? And here they are, reviling him. Some were there weeping for Jairus' dead daughter. They were going through the process of moaning and groaning. When Jesus reached out and touched her, she had died, she was gone. And when he spoke and called her by name, she opened her eyes, she got up from the bed. Now let me ask you a question. How many of us, if we saw somebody raised from the dead, would we not say whoever prayed that prayer has to be close to God? And yet, here they are at the foot of the cross reviling him. Some were there when that blind beggar cried out and Jesus stopped and gave him back his sight. Some of these people were there in the crowd when Jesus took a little boy's lunch of a few fishes and a little bit of bread, and he blessed it and he began to break it, and as he did, he had enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. And yet, here they are at the foot of the cross just a little while later, cursing him, reviling him. If you're the Son of God, come down from the... How could they do that? How could these that have witnessed such astounding miracles revile him? Go with me to John chapter 6. I tell you the truth. Anyone, this is Jesus talking, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yet, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said again, I am the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Listen to what the end of that story is. They're standing there hearing the Son of God teach. And here's their report. Many disciples deserted him. Many of his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining. So he said to them, "Does this offend you?" And verse 66 said, "At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him." The Son of God, the one who fed the 5,000, the one who raised Jairus' daughter, the one who opened the blind beggar's eyes, the one who healed the cancerous man, the man with leprosy, the one who raised the palsied man, the one who forgave him of his sin, this man who turned the water into wine, these people who were following him and received his benefits and blessing now turned their backs on him and walked away. How could they ever do that? At this point, many of the disciples deserted. Because the teachings of Jesus are hard and difficult to accept. One has to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Have you learned yet in your Christian service and service to Christ that not everything goes the way you want it to? Have you realized yet that there is someone who fights against you? I know we have these namby-pamby preachers on TV that promise you that God will meet everything, give you everything you want. He'll give you, turn your VW into an Excalibur Cadillac. Instead of a little house by the wayside, he'll give you a mansion. He'll turn your few dollars, if you just give them 100, he'll make it 1,000. Hello? And yet, in their speeches, they don't preach the truth of Christ. The teachings of Jesus said this with his own mouth, "It's difficult to follow me. If you're going to follow me, deny yourself." How many of you like to deny yourself? I want grape nut flakes for breakfast. Don't ever set down corn flakes on my table. I want fried chicken. Don't ever give me the breast. Give me the legs. If that's the Lord, I won't talk to him. You see, we want what we want. And Jesus said, deny yourself. You've got to put old me away. You've got to crucify the old flesh. And when the Word of God, when the truth, as in the occasion I expressed to you just before I began preaching, when the truth comes to bear on your life, if you're not at that point in your life where you are willing to deny yourself, lay down yourself, put aside your wants and desires and wishes and take up the cross of Christ and follow Him, you're going to be in trouble. People are offended by the claims of Christ. He said that He is the author of eternal life and no one else. I remember that Muslim doctor on one of the trips I was on down in Peru and Bolivia. We're sitting at the table and we were talking about their religion and Christianity, and he said, "Oh, we Muslims believe in Christ. He is a prophet of God." I said, "Is that right?" "Yes, he's a prophet of God." I said, "Then if he's a prophet of God, whatever he said is the truth." "Yes." And my next statement was, "Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God except by me."
Amen. Amen.
He looked across the table and said, "Oh, no, 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 no." I learned 90% of the citizens have no faith whatsoever. 1.3 billion people, and 90% of them have no faith. 5% are Muslims, or Buddhists, pardon me. 5% are Buddhists. 2.5% are Muslims. 2.5% are Christians. Out of 1.3 billion people, about 30 million people, a drop in the bucket, know who Jesus Christ is. Follow Him. Jesus said, "I'm the author of eternal life." That's hard for people to accept. He said, "I am the bread of life, and you have to eat me to live." Do you remember the scripture saying, "Christ in you, the hope of glory"? We have to partake of Him. And if we're busy partaking of the things of the world that feed this old flesh, then we don't have Christ within us. His cross and His shed blood is offensive and repulsive. Many denominations now in the last few decades have taken all songs out of their hymnals that have any reference to the blood of Jesus. "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You can't sing that in a lot of churches. It's offensive. We don't want it. It's repulsive. The shame of sin and how sin caused the death of Jesus to redeem sinful man and remove our guilt. We don't want to express our guilt. We don't want to say, "I'm a sinner. I've done wrong." He called Himself the Son of God. That is the ideal and perfect man as the pattern for men to follow and to copy. Yes. And yet today, mankind wants to do their own thing. Yes. They want to go their own way. Christ declared that the flesh profits nothing, but man loves his own flesh and its pleasures, thus making it hard to surrender to the Holy Spirit to change the carnal flesh. "I don't want to give up this. I want this in my life. I want to be able to do what I want to do. I want to go to the places I want to go to. I don't want to deny myself. I want my flesh to feel good." Men are offended because Christ Jesus taught that they cannot save themselves. but can only be saved if God draws them to Him. No man comes to the Father save the Spirit.
Amen.
Draw him. You see, people like to feel they're good enough. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I've done a few things. I gave to my neighbor and I did this and I did. That ought to mean something to get me into heaven. And Jesus says, none of your works, none of your works will do you any good. In other words, He said, all our works are as filthy rags. Gets us nowhere. That's offensive to people. They don't want to hear that. In conclusion, God blesses you when people mock you, said Jesus. And when they persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. If these people stood at the foot of the cross and they reviled Christ after the goodness that He gave, after the things that He did, if they could fall that deep, and if they could turn that hard after seeing His miracles until they cried out against Him, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and come down from that cross. If they would do that with Jesus, what do you think they're going to do to those who follow Him? Live according to His precepts. Will not compromise the truth of God's Word. Are you ready for this journey? Are you ready to become a part of the followers of Christ, who is willing to stand for what He stood for, and here, regardless of what the world speaks, stand firm, stand true, do not waver. Do you remember what Jesus did to this crowd? He was about to breathe His last breath. Here He was in agony, about to expire in pain. God had forsaken Him. He was all alone. Do you know what He did in the midst of His suffering? He looked down from the cross on those who were angry and defiling Him and said, Father, forgive them. Oh Lord, we need You. You are the truth. Jesus, You spoke the truth. You are the Son of God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And there is none other for salvation but You. All the words that You spoke are truth. The world laughs at You. The world mocks You. And we recognize if we will follow You and we will live for You and we will not trade in the principles of Christ for the principles of this world, that we also will stand mocked, ridiculed, reviled by the world. We are here and now, Lord, ready to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow You. you. How many are willing to make that commitment this morning? Stand up. Come down out of your seats. I know we're a little after 12, but let's forget about it. Let's come down from our seats. God, I'm ready to commit to deny myself and follow you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. I'm ready to put it on the line. I'm ready to give it all to Christ. The world may hate me. The world may not like me. But I love Jesus. And I want to follow Him. Yes, they revile Him. But oh, I want you to see the end of the story, my friend. He died. They put Him in a tomb. But on the third day, hallelujah, He got up out of the tomb. And now He sits on the right hand of the Father. Us pray today. He is right here right now to say, you have surrendered your lives to me. I accept and I will give you the strength, the grace. Men may not like you because of what you stand for, but I'm here to see you through in the name of Jesus. Surrender to Christ. Lord, I give you my life. Forgive me my sins. I surrender my soul, my being to you. I surrender my future. I will stand firmly on what you preach, what you taught, what you believed. I will stand with you, Christ, regardless of the cost. I deny myself. And from today on, I take up my cross. I will follow you, Christ. Regardless of what my relatives say. Regardless of what my neighbors say. Regardless of what the business people say that I deal with. Regardless of what the world says. I submit my relationship with you today. And will not compromise. Regardless of the cost. Oh Jesus. See your people that have come today. See the surrender they're making. See the commitment they're making, Lord. I believe they're standing here with open hearts and an open soul saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to serve you because I know at the end of the day, when it's all over, I will be sitting in the throne of God. I will be there in the kingdom of Christ and have eternal life forever and ever and evermore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give Him glory this morning. Lord, I'm glad to suffer for you. I'm glad to give you my life. I'm glad to surrender my heart to you. I'm glad to be yours and your servant. In the name of Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, we're in this together with Christ. Amen.